Yes, Lord, we want to be those who not only love your word, listening to your word, but also those who tremble at your word. Amen. Learning to obey and to do according to what you say.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right. When the Lord comes back, on one hand, it is really wonderful. But on the other hand, we have to fully realize that he's coming back as the judge. Not just as our dear bridegroom, but as the judge. The gospel is not just that he is our savior. The gospel also tells us that he is going to be our judge. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 10. Amen. Verse 42. Right. Amen. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Amen. Peter was very clear here. He's not just talking about the Lord who died for us and rose again from the dead. But he said, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he, Christ Jesus, who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. So the Lord is not just the Savior, right? But he is the judge. He may not judge you now because it's the time of grace to give us time to repent. But still, if we do not repent, even as Christians, there's so many things we did that are offensive to God, and we need to repent. Right? And there are quite a few verses, but let us skip these verses, and let's go to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Amen. Verse 5. Okay, please, let's read. Amen. Go ahead, please.
They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Amen. To judge the living and the dead. And what did Peter say? Who should be judged first? What did he say? For a time has come, the judgment will
begin in the house of God.
Really? You believe that? The judgment will begin in the house of God. That is in verse 17. Let's read together. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So don't think there is no judgment for us. There is judgment for us. It's a different judgment than the judgment of the unbelievers. Right? This is why Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and of God and give an account of ourselves to him. And this judgment seat is not for the unbelievers. It is for us. And Paul includes himself. We, he said, shall all appear. No exception. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's why we need to be prepared and ready. If you're not prepared, you're going to give an account. What account are you going to give to the Lord? You give an account of so many things, right? What about account for your spiritual life today? Yeah. And so we should know the Lord, not only as the loving, wonderful Savior who died for us when he first came. He came as the Lamb of God to accomplish salvation and redemption for us. But in his second coming, he will come firstly as a judge. And who do you think he's going to judge first? He was going to judge us first. We all will firstly appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is what Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's good to know and be reminded of this verses, verse 10. And verse 10, he also said here, "For we must all before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the love of the Lord." Oh, come on. Really? Terror? The Lord has terror. I always like to read this verse as knowing therefore the love of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why in verse 9 he says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him." Right? We Christians are very superstitious. We thought, "Oh, well, he has forgiven all my sins, no problem. When he comes, I'll be taken." Taken to where? Firstly, to the judgment seat of Christ. That's not what a lot of people like to believe. But even Paul here says, it is scary. It is scary. Right? So, there are many verses, actually, except we just overlook them because of our concept. We overlooked. But there is judgment. Right? Quite a few verses. Anyway, even Jude talked about it. Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it. So we need to prepare. And Isaiah warned us very strongly concerning the Lord's coming and what is going to happen. So let us go back to the book of Isaiah. Amen. We finished 59, right? So we are in chapter 16, talking about the Lord's coming. Right. And remember, in 59 verse 20, which is very important in the book of Isaiah, is Zion. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. To Zion. You know, whatever the Jews in the Old Testament days have experienced, we have the reality today in the New Testament age. We call it the church. But a church is a very general term. It's just the gathering of God's people. So the brethren call the church the assembly, which is exactly according to the Greek word, ekklesia, the gathering of the called out ones. But it's a, there can be, how many gatherings can there be? So everyone have their own gathering and do their own thing and have their own concept, and some preach a different gospel, gospel of prosperity, and there's so many things and so many different activities. You do what you think is right, I do what I think is right. You call that the church. But what about Zion? What is Zion, Brother Sam? Tell us. It's God's choice, not your choice, not my choice. Where is it written? Psalm 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion. It's not your choice. And that's Jerusalem. This is what the Jews today are all for, Jerusalem. They're not going to give up Jerusalem because they knew that is the place of God's choice. Not man's choice. When it comes to the place of his dwelling and a place where his temple is going to be built, and not only his temple, but the place where he is going to set his throne to rule over the nations, it's not your choice, nor my choice. It's not any man's choice. It must be his choice. You and I have no choice. But today, you have a lot of choices. If you don't like it here, there's a lot of choices. Look up the phone book. From A to Z, you have a lot of choice. Right? So you can go church shopping. But do you think this is God's way? Right? You think you have a choice? Which choice do you have? No, there's only one Zion. It is the place of God's choice, for the Lord has chosen Zion. And here he says, will be my rest temporarily. No? Forever. Is it really forever for you? I don't like it. Goodbye. Go find someplace else. And then I don't like it there either. Goodbye. I'm going to find another place. Right. So, people call it church hopping, not just shopping, but hopping. What are you shopping for? You hop and you shop. Well, what are you shopping for? A place that you like or a place that he likes? Yeah. I like what you said, Christina. If the Lord is not here anymore, are you going to stay here? No, you better not. Because it's not what I like. It is what he is. If he's here and this is his choice and he wants to stay here, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? If the place where you like is not there, what are you going to do? Huh? Yes. But he says two or three, if you read the whole context, it is in context of the church, because if that sinful brother would not listen to the two or three who admonished him, then you should, what, cast him out? No? Cast him out? You should firstly bring it then to the church. Which church? So the two or three is not the church, but it is two or three in the church. And so if I, as the brother who offended people and who sinned, you two or three of you came to me and I won't listen to you, then what are you going to do? Tell the church. That's what the Lord says. And only if you will not listen to the church, his church, not man's church, then let him be to you as a publican, as a sinner and publican, like an unbeliever. And that's serious. That is serious. Right? So two or three in the church, the Lord is, of course, with you. You're praying in his name. The Lord is in your midst. In your midst to admonish that brother who made a mistake. Right? So, hey, the same thing is the police come to me and I won't listen. Where is he going to bring me? To the judge. Right. To the court. Exactly. Right. So, you have to see the church today is Zion. Let us read again, and it's very good to repeat this 100 times so that it will get into our heart. We call it the church, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22, it says here, but you have come to? Really? Where are we today? Where are we now? Where are we? Jasmine, where are you right now? Fountain Valley. In Mount Zion, are you sure? It says here, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. My, it's a city of the living God. This is where God has his throne. This is where God will rule. And it is the heavenly Jerusalem, not earthly. So don't say in the New Testament today there's no more Jerusalem. Oh, yes, there is. Except it is much, much better, much higher, more wonderful than the earthly Jerusalem there in Palestine. Oh, my sister says, oh, she likes to go to visit the holy city. It's not very holy there. A lot of problems. Fighting. Bombing. You have all kinds of guards and policemen walking around, men and women with rifles and machine guns. I was there. Not very holy. So you can say, I want to visit Jerusalem. Okay, I would agree with you. But if you say, I want to go visit the holy city, then you're in the wrong place. You're at the right place now. The heavenly Jerusalem. And here you have an innumerable company of angels. Well, of course, they are, the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 says, they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And we are the heirs of salvation. You don't see them, but they're ministering to your needs. They're helping you. It's very good. Yeah, praise the Lord. Innumerable. And then it says to the general assembly, it's not general, it's a wrong translation, right? It says the festal gathering. They know the right meaning, But why do they not translate it correctly? I don't know why. Why do they call it general? It's not very general here, it's very specific. It's very specific. We are not very general here. It's the festal gathering. We are keeping the feast of the Lord in his house. And Isaiah called it the city of what? Our feasts. Because it is where God commanded his people to come together to Jerusalem 3 times a year at that time to keep the feasts of the Lord. So Jerusalem is really the place of gathering for feasting. Right? How many feasts? There are 7 wonderful feasts. Right? Praise the Lord. This is Mount Zion. This is Mount Zion. Praise the Lord. Where are we now? Hopefully, yeah? Hopefully. And the church of the firstborn, plural here. It is in plural, the firstborn. Right? Are you the firstborn? Are you a firstborn? How many firstborn does God have? If you are the firstborn, how many brothers and sisters do you have in your family? One sister, so there are 2 of you. Who's the firstborn? How about your sister? So there can only be 1 firstborn, right? And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the firstborn from among the dead. Right? So how can you be the firstborn too? It is a very strange word here, because we all were baptized into Christ. And we are member of this one body of Christ. So we are partaking of his wonderful position of being the firstborn. And this is confirmed where? In Galatians chapter 3. We are like Jesus Christ, Isaac. We are like Isaac. Right? So here we can really see that the church is the church of the firstborn. And this position of the firstborn is so precious. So it says in chapter 12, do not sell your birthright like Esau. Normally Esau was the firstborn, right? Isaac has how many sons? 2. Who was the firstborn? Esau. And Jacob was 2nd. Now what happened? How come Jacob became the first? Esau sold the firstborn to Jacob. Hey, don't think you will not sell your firstborn, your birthright. It's called the birthright. So the church is the church of the firstborn. Don't sell your birthright. Don't sell. Right. So here, all these terminologies here are very, very meaningful. Who are registered in the heavens. Hey? Today, when you go to denomination, you should be registered with their office. Right? You have to be a member. You should fill out your form. And and take a class, of course. Certificate. Right. And then you have your obligation. And of course, the most important obligation is your dollar. Are we registered here? You should say yes. But in the heavens. Whatever you registered is on the earth, it means nothing to God. It means nothing. So I knew a few saints who were formerly Catholics or belonging to the Lutheran Church, and when they came to Zion, they said, oh, I have to go there and and deregister. I said, no, you don't need to do that. That's bogus. That's Mickey Mouse registration. The real registration is up there in the book of life. If your name is not in the book of life, you're in trouble. And if Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Sardis, it is possible if you sold your birthright, your name will be temporarily erased, blot out in the book of life. That is serious. And it is not you who deregistered, but it is God who take out his eraser, his heavenly eraser, and erase your name. Right? Yeah? Did you find it?
Yeah.
What? God's going to erase your name? Yes, he is. If you today do not behave as a Christian, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but you will lose your reward in the kingdom. It's serious, but nobody tells you that. Nobody tells you that, okay, and you think you're okay. Then when time comes, the Lord says, where is your name? What is your name again? John Yao. Yao, Yao, how do you spell it? How come I can't find your name? Oh, you're just so-so. I don't find your name. Where is the so? Too simple. You think it's a joke? Of course, we make it a little bit in a way of a joke, a humor, so that you will remember it. Because if there's no humor, you may forget it after you leave the room. But it's very serious if your name is not found there. That's what happened to those five foolish virgins. After they quickly went to refill the oil in the oil station, and they came back, they're too late, and knock at the door, Lord, open it, open the door to us. What did the Lord say? I don't know you. What is your name again? That means you're not qualified. You're not qualified. Right. So today we are registered where? In heaven. Where in heaven? In the book of life. And if you don't believe me, let's take a look at the judgment of the people in the world, the unbelievers. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. I'll show you. Revelation chapter 20. So at the very end, so many books were open. The book, every one of us, every one of the human beings, has a record in heaven, because God will judge you according to what you do. And God recorded it, because you are going to say, but I didn't do that. Nobody who appears before a judge always say, yes, I agree with you. Your Honor, I agree. No, everybody always says, no, I do not agree. Yes, they always plead unguilty. That's why all the books were open, right? And then the verse 12, right, in chapter 20, and I saw dead, small and great, standing before the great white throne. That's the judgment for the unbelievers. Books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life now. You see, there are so many books, but there is one book that is important. The other books is to prove to you that you are guilty. But although all of us are guilty, but the only reason why you are thrown into the lake of fire is because your name is not in the book of life. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the final judgment. But for the judgment of entering into the millennial kingdom, it is also in the book of life. So for that particular section, which is a reward to the firstborn, because the kingship, being a king to rule, is the portion of the firstborn. Yep. So if you sold your birthright, you lost your right to rule, to be a king. So the Lord will say, what is your name again? And the Lord can't find your name. You're out. You're out. Don't think it is not serious. No, it is very serious. We all need to wake up. We did say, Lord, we want to rule with you, right? We want to be co-kings with Christ to rule over the nations. That is why it says here in chapter 2 in the book of Revelation, let us read verse 26 and 27. Yeah. And he who overcomes, that means not he who believes, okay, but he who overcomes. There are many believers, but not many overcomers. And he who overcomes, in verse 26, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And they shall be dashed to pieces, those unbelievers in a millennial kingdom who are still rebellious, like the potter's vessel, as I also receive from my Father. So the Lord is going to be a ruler. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will be co-kings if we are faithful and overcomers. So this is a reward for those who did not sell the birthright. Chapter 3 at the very end, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. So it's not to him who believes. To believe is very simple and easy. It's not by works, but by grace. But to sit with him on a throne, it is to be an overcomer. You have to be an overcomer to be faithful to him, to be righteous, to be holy, to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Well, I think the word is very clear. We don't need to explain too much. It is written, it is written. Many people say, I don't understand the Bible. I said, no, no, no. If you understand English, then you understand the Bible. You know what it means, to overcome, right? Overcome is to overcome. To sit on a throne is to sit on the throne. Not on the floor, but on the throne. Not on a chair, not on a stool, but on a throne. You know the difference between a chair and a throne. Well, then you understand the Bible. It is not hard to understand. It is very easy to understand. Right? Where do you want to sit when the Lord comes back? Yeah. Not in the outer darkness. No. Right. So, praise the Lord, we have to really realize we are coming to Zion, the city of the living God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Zion is important. Zion. Don't believe that Zion is not important. People understand the church, the church is the meeting on Sundays. As long as you come to the meeting on Sunday, you're okay, right? That's what some people believe. Just come to the meeting, even if you sleep there, it's okay. Just come to the meeting and you'll be all right. I don't know where it is written like that. I have to look for it. It's not written like that. And the Lord will not forget Zion. Later on, we will talk about that. But the Lord will never forget Zion. Here in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, can a mother forget her son? Yes or no? Some did. Right? So the Lord says, right? Of course, normally a mother will never forget a baby, right? Yeah. Which mother would? But some mother does. But even if the mother would forget, the Lord said, that means some mother would. I will not forget Zion. The Lord will never give up Zion. But it doesn't mean that He is not going to temporarily judge her. So that is happening, that had happened during the days in the Old Testament day, in the Old Testament time, the captivity, right? So here, right, Zion is very important. And then it says, you're registered in heaven to God. We have come to God, the judge of all. Here in Zion, God is a judge. Because Zion is His kingdom. In every kingdom, here in the United States, there's a court, there's judges, and then you have a Supreme Court. And you have those judges in the Supreme Court. If there's a nation, there is a judge. If it's a kingdom, then you have a judge. Zion is the kingdom of God. And who is the judge there? God, the judge of all. It says here, we have come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the born-again Christians. To the spirit of just men, period. What? Really? So hard? Are you being made perfect today? We always like to say, but nobody is perfect, right? It's a very good excuse, but this is not a biblical excuse. This is man's excuse. What did Matthew chapter 5 says? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You cannot be perfect overnight. That for sure. But day by day, when you grow in life, when you mature, you gain Christ more and more. You'll be transformed in his likeness. That's what the Bible says. Not overnight. Nobody's going to be perfect overnight. That's why you don't point fingers. Oh, well, this and that. How come you're like that? How come you don't change? I've known you for some time. You. Don't change. And don't do that. Give him time to be perfect. To gain Christ. But you have to gain Christ. Don't say, I am as I am. You're not God. That's God's name. I am that I am. That is God's name. Because he's already perfect. You cannot be more perfect. He cannot be more perfect. But if you say, I am who I am, then you remain the way you are. You will be hopeless. That's not your name, okay? So don't say, I am as I am. I am the way I am. No, you should. That's the wrong name. That's not you. You should be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. And in Hebrews chapter 6, what did it say? Let us leave the elementary principle of Christ and go on to what? Really? That's the only way to make it to the kingdom. And the perfection here, the word, is the same word in Greek as maturity. To be a mature person, spiritually mature. Like what Ephesians chapter 4 says, that we will reach to be a perfect man, a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is it possible? Of course, because it's written. God will not ask and demand something of us that is not possible. It is possible, remember, not overnight. We have to do day by day. We need to gain Christ. And this is why we are practicing the priesthood. To experience Christ as a burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, etc. Right? So, this is really wonderful. We need to see. We need to see what Zion is. Right? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Praise the Lord. We have a wonderful mediator here. So if you fail, try again. We're still today in the age of grace. Don't give up. We have a mediator. The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Because Christ has shed his precious blood for us and speak for us before the Father. Before the Father God, Christ will not condemn you, but give you a chance. Amen. Father, the Lord will say, I paid the price for him. Give him a chance. He's called a propitiator. He's the propitiation for our sins. Make peace between us and the Father. Otherwise, you're in trouble. He's even our advocate, it says. He's our advocate. You have the best lawyer before the Father. Can you imagine? He's not only the Savior, he's also your lawyer who speaks for you before the Father. Right? Wow, such a wonderful Christ. That's why in verse 25, see that you, as a Christian, he's talking to believers here, do not refuse him who speaks. Don't think his speaking is not important. No, his speaking is very important. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we, the believers in the New Testament age, not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven through the Holy Spirit and through his word today. Remember the Spirit and the word, right? Yes. Don't forget that covenant, right, that we have seen in Isaiah. Whose voice then shook the earth at the time of Moses, Mount Sinai. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates, verse 27, the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. In the last 50 years, I've seen so many shaking to shake away whatever should be there in Zion. Don't think God will accept everything and anything. No, God will not accept just everything. Only the things that are not shakable. Therefore, concerning Zion, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Only the kingdom cannot be shaken. This is Zion. Right? And this is why we are keeping the feast of the unleavened bread, to purge out the leaven. If you don't purge it out now, God is going to purge it out with you. Because you keep the leaven there, and you will not purge out the leaven. So if I'm full of leaven at the end, how is God going to purge out that leaven? It purged me out. I cannot inherit the kingdom because of all the leaven that is in me. In Galatians chapter 5, read it. Those who do such thing cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You think it is written just to scare you? No. No. It's very serious. Right. And so the Lord's return will be the beginning of the manifestation of the kingdom age. So if I today do not purge out so many things that shouldn't be there, then I will not be qualified to enter in. Right. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's not easy. No. You think serving God is so easy. I volunteer to do this and to do that. And the Lord did say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not in your name do a lot of good works and good things? Even in your name we cast out demons? What did the Lord say, Sam? You workers of lawlessness. So it's not just, I'll just serve God the way I am and just do whatever I like for him. God is not going to accept everything. And he ended his chapter saying, for our God is a consuming fire. Nobody likes to hear that. Our God is a consuming fire. And this is Zion. This whole section here is talking about Zion. The Lord will return to Zion. Right? So let's turn back to Isaiah. Right. And here, let us just quickly skip and jump to chapter 62, verse 1. Let's read it together. Yeah. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamb that burns. Oh, Lord Jesus. And verse 6, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mentions of the Lord, who doth keep silence and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This is how much our God loves Zion. Really. We need to see. It's not just reading the Bible. You need to see the vision, the heavenly vision. What is in God's heart? And you can see it in the Word. Christ loves the church and has given himself for her. And the kind of church in Ephesians chapter 5 is what? Just anyone? What kind? How come you said no? A what? A glorious church. Not having what? Spot or wrinkle. Do we have spots? Too many. Wrinkle. The oldness. Doing things, same thing every week, all the time. We become old. Full of wrinkles. God doesn't want that kind of a church, but a glorious church, holy and without blemish. This is Zion. This is Zion, where the Lord is going to reign and rule when he comes. And so, seeing this background, let us... Sorry, we don't have much time tonight to come to chapter 60. But we'll just make it short and brief. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Meaning to say the Lord will come back. This is referring to the return of the Messiah. And he, of course, here he's talking to the Jews, to the Jewish nation. But hey, today we are the real Jews. Remember what Paul says. A Jew is not one who is outwardly, but inwardly. Circumcision is not outward, but of the heart, whose praise is of God. Right? And it is in the Spirit. We are today the real Israel of God. Actually, the Jews should have been brought into the heavenly part, but they rejected the Lord, unfortunately. Unfortunately. That is why Paul said, in the new covenant, there's no more Jews, no more Gentiles. But a new man, and this new man is a new creation, and this new creation is the heavenly Israel. Oh Lord, and today, this is the real Zion. Right? Arise and shine, for your light has come, meaning to say the light of the Lord. He, when he comes back, he is the sun of righteousness, shining from the east. Right? And the light will shine through the whole earth. And the glory of the Lord is upon you, risen upon you. Wow, Zion will be glorious when the Lord comes back. But remember, when the Lord comes back as a man, physically, he's going to come again, just like he ascended. You remember, his disciples were looking at him, going up, and they're looking, and then he disappeared, and the angels said, "Why are you still looking?" Just as he ascended, he's going to come back in the same spot in the Mount of Olives. And this is what Zechariah says. So he's going to come back as a man to rule now as King of Kings, not as a little lamb to be slaughtered. No, he's coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule and to reign over the nations, and hopefully we with him. Hopefully. I don't say, yeah, we will. Well, it's good to believe, but it's not enough just to believe. We need to be ready. Right? So, praise the Lord. The Lord will return again to Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem will be meaningful then, because now he's here. So the Lord is going to rule over the nations during the millennial kingdom and then on to new heaven and new earth, as Isaiah says. Wonderful. But verse 2 again indicates something to us that before he comes, right before he comes, behold, darkness shall cover the earth. And deep darkness the people. In just one sentence, the Lord described what is going to happen before he comes. Look at the states today. Look at the politics today, full of darkness. Nobody keeps the law anymore. Whatever the president says, the governor says, no. Since when do we do that? Right? And we do the opposite of what Washington, D.C. says. There's no more law. Why have the law if you don't keep them? Right? Can you imagine everyone can do whatever they want and, well, where is the Constitution? Right. And a lot of people, they don't care. They don't care. And there's so much opposition against the faith in God. They don't want that anymore. Right? So much darkness. The media is lying. You know, I told you what somebody said, right? If you don't listen to the news, you're not informed. But if you listen to the news, to the media, you're misinformed. You know who said that? Denzel Washington. You know Denzel Washington? That's what he says. And he's telling the truth. Because nobody's telling the truth today. People believe everything that the media says. So, what are you going to do? Listen to the news or not listen to the news? So, this is what's happening today. The whole world is in darkness. There's a lot of darkness today. And deep darkness covers the people. You're going to see this more and more. You're going to see this more and more. Yeah. Right. And just a few days ago in the news, right? Shirley showed us the news. One president somewhere in this world, in the Far East, says God is stupid. Goodness. A president. And the reason he gave is terrible. Nobody respects anybody anymore today. It is awful. And this darkness is going to get worse and worse. And not only in the world, but amongst us Christians. And this morning we read in the news that a preacher, he already has three jets, you know. But he says they're too slow because his jet has to stop for three times to refill. So he needs another jet. What kind of a jet? The X7 or something like that? Huh? Falcon X7. And it has to be, well equipped, etc., and cost $54 million. And ask the congregation to donate money for him to buy that jet. Although he already has three. Goodness sake. I wonder why people still go there to meet and listen to him. Are you going to be there if the pastor asks people for money to buy him a $54 million jet? That's darkness. That's very deep darkness. That's very deep darkness. But then it is at this time when it is very dark that Christ, the Messiah, will come again. Amen. That's why the Lord says the days of the Son of Man when he comes back will be as Sodom and Gomorrah, the days of Lot. It's very dark. And today, hey, they even legalize Sodom and Gomorrah. Legalize drugs. Yeah. Hey, I just read in the Reader's Digest the other day concerning an article written by doctors saying that smoking marijuana, especially the young people, the young folks, will damage your brain. And who legalized it? It's because he himself was taking it. No wonder he legalized. Something is wrong in the brain. It'll be legal in Canada very soon. Although it wasn't legalized yet, while I was in Vancouver, while I was in Vancouver, they're already opening shops.
It's legal in some provinces, but it'll be legal all across the country.
Right. Tell me. What is worse, drinking alcohol or smoking marijuana? At least in the bottle of the alcohol, it says drinking is hazardous to your health. Now, if drinking alcohol and wine is hazardous to your health, what about smoking marijuana? They are out to destroy people. They don't care. They don't care. They are not for the people. They are not for the nations. Now you think those pastors today really care for the believers? In darkness. This is why when the Lord comes, the light will shine. And it will shine brightly. It will expose all kinds of darkness. And it says here, but the Lord will arise over you in Zion, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Praise the Lord. The coming of the Lord is the only salvation for the whole world. There is no other help. No other. You cannot change the whole situation anymore. No. It's too late to change. It'll just get worse. Praise the Lord, we have someone there sitting today that tries to stop it. But what can you do? Right? What can you do? Because it is difficult. It is difficult. Those people don't know what they're doing. What they're doing is just to prepare for a beast to come. To prepare for a beast to appear in the last 3.5 years. They talk about the New World Order. No, they should call it the Dark World Order. Where the prince of darkness will reign through that beast. That's what they're doing. Right? But here it says the glory of the Lord will come. His light will shine. Amen. And His glory will be seen where? In Zion. Amen. That is the place where the Lord will come back to. Yeah. If we have time, we can look into the scriptures. It's very clearly written. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They will come to you. Only when the Lord comes back again, the nation of Israel, and I'm talking about now the earthly Jews, they will repent because they will see Him whom they pierced. And the remnant, they will repent. Right. And your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your sight. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall turn to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles, the nations, shall come to you. Right. Oh, Lord. And verse 8 is this well-known verse printed in the coin, in the second coin. Right? You don't understand why. Oh, Lord, yeah. Who are these who fly like a cloud, like a dove, to their roost or to their coves? And if you read the entire context, you will see that God will gather all of His people, right? And whole nations, everywhere they will carry God's people, the remnant, the saved Jews, they will be brought back to Zion, to Israel, to Jerusalem. And they will come, it says here, like a cloud and like doves to their roost, to their cove, to their coves. Praise the Lord. And this the Jews understood, that the rest of the remaining ones will return and be brought back to Israel, to where they belong. And they, of course, will be the priests to teach the nations to walk in the ways of God. We can talk about that later. It's 9 o'clock. Right. I don't want to keep you here too long. No, that's good. But you have to see the vision. You have to know what's going to happen, what's going on, what the Lord is doing. This concerns the return of the Messiah, right? When He comes again, what's going to happen? and how we today can prepare for his coming.
Amen.
Amen.